You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, healing. Everybody say, I am healed. You know, I got a lot of healing scriptures written down. I go over them all the time and make them personal. I think that's very important. It's one thing to say that the Lord heals, but it's another thing to say he heals me. It's one thing to say the Lord is a shepherd. It's another thing to say the Lord is my shepherd. You have to personalize the word. It's one thing to say he is a savior, but it's another thing to say he is my savior. So you have to confess the Lord. You have to confess Jesus with your mouth. And so healing is no different. And if you want healing, then you need to confess healing. And you need to confess the healer being your healer. And there's lots of scriptures in the Bible concerning it. This is not some offshoot doctrine, some side note, some peripheral thing in the Word. This is something that permeates the Bible. And you'll see it over and over and over. Exodus 15:26. I'm just going to go through several verses here. Try not to spend a lot of time, because if I spend a minute on each one, we wouldn't get through here tonight. So I'm just doing as quick as I can here. Exodus 15:26 is a classic verse on healing. In fact, I think I will even turn there. How about that? Yeah, that'd be good. And I'm reading basically out of the New King James Version, but I'm going to quote some other versions, you know, while I'm at it. This is the one where it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he also says in the Hebrew, Jehovah Jireh. Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. Well, maybe I won't be going to New King James. Yeah, it come up finally. I have to have the internet to do this, so iPad. Exodus 15. I'm going to have to read out of King James Version. Just a second. King James Version. Sorry about that. Exodus 15:26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments. See, there it is again, the word. Keep all his statutes. Do what's right. Live right. Live holy. You can't just live like the devil and not pay attention to God's word and then come to God and say, I need healing. You know, come on. I mean, it's like smoking all your life and get lung cancer and say, God, I want to be healed, but you keep smoking. Stay with me. I'm not here blasting people to smoke. I know people smoke. You can go to heaven and smoke. I'm not saying that. But you do understand that does destroy your lungs. Are you with me? And so you're kind of fighting yourself when you do that. If you're trying to believe for healing of your lungs and then you're smoking at the same time, that's like, Lord, help my foot, and you keep shooting it with a gun. You know, you need to quit pulling the trigger, you know. And if cirrhosis of the liver is something you're dealing with, well, you know, you probably need to quit drinking. That's a good thing you need to do. You need to put your actions and your words in line with what you're believing. You need to be consistent in the way you live. And so if you're believing for healing, then do the best to live as healthy as you can. That's what we're trying to say. Are you going to go to hell for those things? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living a healthy life and keeping his statute and his commandments. Are you with me? Doing that which is right in his sight. God just won't overlook all that if you're unrepentant and not going to quit. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. I've seen people, you know, die of lung cancer, go visit them in the hospital, and I meet them outside sitting in a wheelchair in an oxygen tank smoking a cigarette. I'm thinking, my Lord, what are you doing? And let's use some common sense here. I mean, my dad dealt with it. My dad died, you know, COPD, and he smoked for 66 years, and it just took its toll on him. And so I've seen the damage done, no question. And a lot of, I can name person after person, some people you'd know personally that died the same way. So what we're saying here is, he leads up to this, and he says, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. And will not do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his commandments, statutes, and I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that's God's will. Yeah. And I mean, I said smoking. There's millions of other things we could talk about here. You know, things we eat, things we drink, so on and so forth, in excess. Even coffee, if you drink way too much, can't be good for you. So we're not pointing anybody out when I say those things. I'm just saying, let's be smart. Amen. Healing is God's will. Healing's not something God, it's just his best, and sometimes he does it. No, healing is God's will. Health is something God wants you to have. He wants you to be healthy, and he wants you to heal. That is his nature. That is his character. He is not the Lord that maketh thee sick. He is the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Jireh, that's a redemptive name. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord, the healing, the Lord that heals. So these are redemptive names. I don't have time to get into that teaching, but when you look into the redemptive names of God, where you use the word Jehovah in the Old Testament, followed by the Lord our banner, the Lord our strength, the Lord our healer. This is one of them, the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And so he is the Lord that heals us. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, Jehovah, God, my Father, is my healer. Now think about that. We think about him as being our Savior. No problem saying that. I mean, that's fine. Well, he is our healer. Have you ever sinned? I've sinned. But he's forgiven me. He forgives me. He's my Savior. You ever been sick? Been sick. But he's my healer. Hallelujah. And it's not a question. It's not a controversial subject. It's not something I wonder about. I know he is. He is my Savior. I know he's the Savior. I know he's a healer. He is the Lord that healeth me. Hallelujah. And all things being equal, you know, I'm not shooting myself in the foot and I'm not purposely destroying myself. Then I can come to him. And even, listen, even if I've done those things, I can repent of that and turn around and ask God to help me, because sometimes those things are very hard to quit. I understand that. And God will help us, but his grace is stronger than that. And healing is available. And God wants us healed. This is what God is. You know, God wants you to love. Why? Because God is love. God's not hate. God doesn't want you to hate. God's not sick, and he's not the Lord that maketh thee sick. He's the Lord that healeth thee. So we shouldn't question that. I mean, goodness, that's why we spend so much money on hospitals, and we're rejoicing over this birth, this delivery at the hospital, and these lungs that Mama D's going to get. Thank God for those lungs. Thank God for doctors and surgeries and medicines. I went and got a steroid shot on my back yesterday. You said, why'd you do that? Because I was in pain. Okay, and they could help me, and I went to get some help. I'm believing and standing in, you know, for healing, but healing is the will of God, and getting well is what we're all trying to do here. We're trying to get well because getting well is good, and we're working with God, not against God, when we're trying to get well. So if you've got medication that helps you, take it. Keep believing God, and, you know, you get healed. The medication make you sick, you'll have to quit it, but don't throw the medicine away until you get a manifestation. And if they've got some kind of surgery to help you, go for it. I'm saying, oh, let's do it. If you're not getting any results, you know what I'm saying. But don't quit believing. Keep believing even when you're there in a hospital. Keep believing even when you're having that surgery. Keep believing even when you're taking that medicine. Don't stop that. You are healed in Jesus' name. Because he is the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 23:25. Another good one. Hallelujah. We're in Exodus, the way out. I love that. You know, that's Greek. Exodus means the way out. That's where they left Egypt. Exodus 23:25. Boy, this is one I quote a lot. I often quote this when I am praying over the meal. Here's a good prayer for a meal. Notice what it says in Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Woo! Did you get that? We ought to live a life blessing God, honoring God, acknowledging God, worshiping God, confessing God in our lives. And he will bless our bread and water if we'll do that. And he will take all sickness away from the midst of us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when I pray often, I'll say, Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for this fellowship and all these people here. We give you glory and honor for this day, you know, in this provision. And you said that if we'd serve you, you would bless our bread and water, take all sickness away from the midst of us. We thank you our food is blessed and we are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And that's based straight out of Scripture. That's a scriptural prayer. So this is what God does. This is something you see all through the Scripture. So you got Exodus 15:26. You got Exodus 23:25. Look at Deuteronomy 7th chapter, which says very similar to this. Deuteronomy 7, if you're writing notes here, in the 15th verse, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt. He even labels them. They're really the diseases of Egypt. They weren't the diseases of his people. the disease of each which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. See, that was a result of sin, worshiping other gods. When you worship God, health was the result. Worshiping pagan gods and rejecting God and rebelling against God and disobeying God brought disease. Health came from serving God. God is the God of health. Notice how he brings that out. He said that again in Exodus 15:26 about the diseases of Egypt. You say, well, he puts it on them. Well, actually, they put it on themselves. They left his healing power, his healing hand. They were no longer under his hand. So the result of being away from God is sickness and disease. Now, you might say, well, are you saying if I'm sick, I'm in sin? No, not necessarily. No, no, no. But all sickness is the result of sin. Not yours, maybe, but Adam's for sure. You know, when Adam sinned, death came into the world. Romans 5 talks about it. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about it. You know, when sin entered the world, death reigned. And sin entered by one man, Adam. And what Jesus came to do was to turn that around. The result of sin was death and sickness and disease and poverty and all that. You notice when Jesus hit the scene and started his ministry, he was healing people. He wasn't just preaching, teaching, he was healing the sick. Matthew 4:23. Matthew 9:35, those two verses tell us that he went about their villages preaching and their synagogues teaching and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. It repeats it. Matthew 4:23 is repeated in Matthew 9:35. And it says he did three things. It says he preached in their villages, he healed, he taught in their synagogues, and he healed all manner of diseases among the people. Jesus didn't just go around teaching sermons. He went around healing people. Because what he did, see, he restored and set back right what was wrong. And sin had corrupted the world. And Jesus came as the Savior of the world to save us from our sins, to save us from sickness and disease. He not only took our sins through the blood that he shed, but by his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that. He, his own self, took our sins in his own body on the cross, that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Now think about that. I mean, in Galatians 3:13 says that very plainly. Galatians 3:13 says this: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's what he did. They crucified him on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, in context, he's talking about righteousness. He's talking about the blessing of Abraham being righteous by faith. He's talking about being saved and righteous. And that we're redeemed from the curse of the law and we won't go to hell. But now stay with me. Included in that package is healing and deliverance and all the benefits of serving God, because if we're redeemed from the curse of the law of sin that entered the world through Adam, death came by sin and so did sickness. And so when Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on to Gentiles through Jesus Christ, hey, that includes healing, that includes peace, that includes eternal life, righteousness by faith, which is the context of it, but all that comes with the package. It's like buying a shoe. You know, it's like getting the Holy Ghost and baptize the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. You buy the shoe, the tongue comes with it. Baptize the Holy Ghost, then you speak in tongues. That's just part of the package. It's all together. So when you're saved, healing's part of the package. A lot of the church doesn't know that because they're not going over the Scripture. They're not really trusting God for that. They're good people, love God, but they haven't been taught that. So we're not really trusting God to be healed when sickness comes, and we're not really serious about praying for it. And if God does, he does. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. And it's okay, and we go on about our business. But that's part of the package. He didn't just take our sins. He took our sicknesses. Hallelujah. And here we see in Exodus 15:26, Exodus 23:25, Deuteronomy 7:15, you know, we see very plainly here that healing was just part of what he did. Ooh, hallelujah. Now notice also, boy, I'll tell you what, get into the Psalms. There's several of them in the Psalms. Look at Psalms 30:2. says he Psalms 30, verse 2, if you're writing these verses down. This is David speaking. He says, I cried to the Lord, and he healed me. Oh, yeah. I like that. He said, he didn't say I cried to the Lord, and nothing happened. No, I cried to the Lord, and he healed me. I love that. So when you cry out to the Lord for healing, what happens? He heals you. He didn't say, I cried out to the Lord, and you know, sometimes he healed me, sometimes he didn't. And you know, you never know what the Lord will do. No, he says, I cried out to the Lord, and he healed me. Because that's what God does. He is the Lord that healeth us. He takes away from us all sickness. That's who we run to when we're sick. When we're in pain, and we have disease, we got the bad report, as it were, from the doctor. Thank God for doctors. We should cry out to the Lord, because the Lord is a healer, and he heals those who cry out to him. And he saves those who call to him. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I'll answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Oh, hallelujah. If we cry out to God, he will answer us. Jesus said, ask, in 7th chapter, the 7th verse, Matthew 7:7, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh, the door shall be open unto them. Woo! Good stuff. Amen. So crying out to God gets results, specifically in the area of healing. Here we have a definite scripture concerning that in Psalms 30, verse 2. In Psalm 67, verse 2, talks about God saving health. That really is a neat psalm. There's only seven verses in Psalm 67. But what's neat about that is when he starts out, Psalm 67, he says, O God, be merciful to us and cause your face to shine upon us. Selah. Well, you see the word Selah, that means stop and think about that. That was like pause. Think about what I just said. Did you get that? Uh-huh. Are you listening? You know, we say that, hello. Well, back then they said Selah. That's what Selah means. Stop. Think about that. What are we thinking about? God being merciful to us. God blessing us. God causing his face to shine upon us. I love that. So when God's looking at us, and God's blessing us, and God's merciful to us, the next verse, that your way, his ways are known upon the earth, his saving health among the nations. When God's facing us and active in our lives, healing's there. Because that's what God does. Amen? When God turns and we get his attention, when God's involved, there's healing. When God's way is known, his way is healing. Not sickness, not storms, although that's in the insurance policies. It amazes me. We think when God gets involved, that's when he burns your house down and floods your town. But no, when God's involved, when his face shines on us, it's mercy. Are you with me? It's blessing, and it's healing. Well, this sickness, God just put this on me. No, God didn't put that on you. God is a healer. God's a healer. Well, God's trying to put me through something. No, God's not putting you through anything. There is a devil out here. There is a thing called sin in the world, and you're affected by it. Whether you're sinning or not, you're still affected by the world. You have attacks, and you know, you're part of a huge society here, and the way other people live does touch your life sometimes. Sometimes you catch a disease that you're not the source of it. You just caught it because it's contagious. Are you with me? Now, you can fight it off, and that's what we're saying here. You need to fight it off. You need to call on God. You need to cry to God, and he'll heal you. Because that's what he does. That's his saving health. Needs to be known among all nations. And boy, I tell you what, if we don't make it known, who's going to? If we as Christians don't believe in healing, if we as Christians don't promote healing, if we don't pursue healing, if we don't stand on healing, confess healing, and talk about it, how's the world going to know? They're not going to know, because we are the arbitrators of the gospel. We are the journalist of heaven. You know, we are the Fox News of heaven, I guess you'd say. We without us, there's no reporters. We are the television station. We are the newspaper. We are the Facebook. We are the Twitter. We are the media of God. We are the church, the Christians, believers. And we need to be telling the world Jesus is a healer. He's not making them sick. He's not trying to ruin their lives. He's trying to help them. He wants them to go to heaven, not hell. He wants to forgive them, not condemn them and judge them, as it were. Hallelujah. Look at, this is a classic verse, Psalms 91, verse 10. Psalms 91, of course, is just good to read the whole thing. Wish we had time, but we don't. Psalms 91 talks about, you know, he dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fire, from the noise and pestilence. But notice it goes down to the 10th verse, and it says, there shall no evil befall thee, no sickness come near your dwelling. Oh, no evil befall thee, no sickness come near your dwelling. You know, this is an interesting one. If I can get this up. Come on, Internet. There it goes. The NET, the New English Translation, says this. I like this. It says, no harm will overtake you. No illness will come near your home. Boy, I like that. That's the NET translation, if you're writing notes. No evil shall befall you. No illness, no harm will overtake you. Oh, there'll be harm. You'll be around it, but it won't overtake you. No illness will come near your home. It may be a plague, an epidemic, but it won't come near your home. No plague to come nigh thy dwelling, is what King James says. So there again, healing. Everybody say healing. Healing is part of God's protection. This is a psalm of protection. Not a very long psalm, 16 verses. You ought to read it sometime and make it personal and say, you know, I dwell under the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my God. Make it personal. And get down to that verse and say, no evil will befall me. And no illness will come near my home. Hallelujah. That's a promise of God. And if it does and it's in your home, run it out. Just run it out. Don't settle for it. Don't say, well, this is just the way it is. Nothing we can do about it. Yeah, there's something you can do about it. You can believe God. Amen. You can trust the Lord that healeth thee. You can trust the one who takes away all sickness. You can trust the one that you cry out to who heals you. Hallelujah. You can trust the one who causes his face to shine upon you, is merciful to you, blesses you, and causes his saving health to be known to you. You can trust the one that keeps illness and sickness away from your home. You can trust him. Hallelujah. And rightly so, you should. Psalms 103 is a classic verse. Psalms 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everybody say all. Okay. Now see, this is healing 101. This is basic healing scriptures. This is almost kindergarten, first grade. But sometimes we need to go back to school. I think sometimes we've forgotten some of the benefits of God. We're saved, going to heaven, but that's not the whole package, okay? That's not everything involved in Christianity and salvation. That's not all that Jesus did. That's not all he paid the price for. He actually went to great lengths for some other things. One in particular is healing. We tend to forget the authority of his ministry was healing. Preached, teached, and healed. How can we go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and miss all that? The one with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter raised from the dead, the leper, the 10 lepers that God healed. Hallelujah. Think about that. The man let down through the roof of the house that had palsy and was healed. Blind Bartimaeus, Peter's mother-in-law. Then multitudes of people that were healed. Whoever touched him was healed and made whole. He spoke word, the Bible says, and spirits left people and healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. This is Matthew 8, 16 and 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of him. That he took upon him our sickness and our disease. And by his stripes we're healed. Wow. How do you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and miss all that? Healing after healing after healing after healing. And then we come along and have church and it's just like a side note. Hardly ever hear anything about it. We might pray for someone. Nothing may happen. Something may happen. Something may not happen. But it's not really a major issue and it doesn't really take up a big part. You know, here we pray for people every service. We have a prayer time. Brenda reads prayer request cards. If you're in here presently and have a need, we lay hands on you because that's what the Bible says to do. And you know what? We have a lot of people get healed. Not because of us, but because we're obeying the Scripture. If you obey the Scripture, you'll see a lot of people healed. You know, Moses sees a lot of people get healed in the food ministry. You know why? Not because he's special, but because he's praying every week for people. And if you pray every week for people and you lay hands on a lot of people for healing, you're going to see a lot of healing. That's just the way it works. You know, I hear a lot of people that love God, Christians, and they say, well, I don't know about all that healing stuff. And I say, well, you ever seen anybody healed? Well, no. I said, well, how many people you prayed for? Well, yeah, I didn't really pray for anybody. Well, you're never going to see anybody if you don't pray for them. Are you with me? You got to pray for people, lay hands on them to see healing. But if you do, you will. Woo. So he says this, benefits. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. All. Everybody say all. All his benefits. Not just one. Well, I just thank God I'm saved. Well, I do too. I thank God I'm saved too. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. But that's not all he did. That's not all his benefits. Well, it gives me peace. Well, that's good. That's another benefit. But that's not all his benefits. In fact, if you want to line them up priority-wise and list them, the first two he lists are not peace. The first two he lists, he says, he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Woohoo! So after salvation, I think the next thing should be mentioned is healing. And that would stay in line with his ministry if you follow him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's exactly what he did. He forgave people and he healed people. Remember me quoting Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35? Went about their villages, preaching in their villages, teaching in their synagogues, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. Wow. So that falls right in line with forgetting all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And then he lists some other things. But those are the first two things he mentions. And what does he call himself? The Lord that healeth thee. Oh, wow, that's good stuff. Man, y'all getting stirred up yet? I just came stirred up. That way I didn't have to get stirred up. Well, we're in the Psalms. But it's you got to maintain it, though. Psalms 107. Here's a good one. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Are this helping anybody? Okay, we're just perusing through the Scriptures, you know. Cruising through the Scriptures, as it were. And we're not talking about one Scripture on healing, two Scriptures on healing, three Scriptures on healing, four Scriptures on healing, five Scriptures on... No. There is Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. We ain't even got into the New Testament, although I've quoted several of them already. I quoted Galatians 3:13, Matthew 8:16-17. I quoted 1 Peter 2:24. Come on. You know, I talked about laying hands on the sick. That Mark 16:18. Those are all New Testament Scriptures. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of Scriptures in the Bible, old and new, about healing. I don't know how we've just seemed to pass over that. I mean, not here. We hadn't. We believe in healing. But if we're not careful, we'll go with the flow of the world, and they'll become kind of passe, you know. It'll just be on the shelf. Not all that big a deal. And then sickness will come knocking on our door, and we'll kind of tolerate it. We'll kind of put up with it, you know. But we won't aggressively attack it and stand on it. And, you know, because everybody goes through it. It's just the way of the world. It's the way it happens. But, hey, we have healing in the Bible. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to tolerate sin. We don't have to live that way. We can get healed. We can overcome sin. We can be forgiven and get strong and overcome sin and resist sin. And we can be healed, hallelujah, when sickness comes. And we should pursue it. Psalms 107, notice what it says here in the 19th and 20th verse. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Thank God, good place to go when you're in trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. Man, that's good. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Woo! Whoa. He did what? Sent what? He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. See, that's insight there now. That's we don't want to miss that because that's paramount. That's important. So I want to be healed. Well, now, what do I need to do to get healed? Well, you need to get a hold of his word because he sent his word and healed them. That goes along with Matthew 8:16. I've quoted that already if you want to write that down. It says he cast out spirits with a word. Just with a word. And that would line up with that. In fact, you could just, you know, list scriptures on healing from the Word. And here specifically, he says he sent his Word and healed them. Hallelujah. So if you can get his Word on healing, you can get healed. Because he sent it. He sent his Word to heal you. So you could say concerning this that God sent his Word to me to heal me. So I have his Word that I might be healed. Now what word is that? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'll take all sickness away from midst of thee. I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. By stripes I'm healed. Those are words of healing. Amen. Get a hold of those words. You know what the doctor has to say. You know what his report says. You've read those prescriptions on the bottles. You know what they say and what they do and how to take them and when to take them. And you religiously take them as the doctor says to take them. You know that if you don't do exactly what the prescription says to do, you cannot expect the results they say they're going to give you. Well, why don't you religiously take the word also and quote it every day and say it every day. Keep it in front of your face. Woo! And get healed. Hallelujah. I love that. Because he sent his word to heal. A doctor will send you medicine to get healed. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicines. I take a blood pressure medicine and, you know, I was taking an anti-inflammatory, you know, for some of the back issues I was having. I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I take them religiously because, you know, it's the only way it's going to take effect and the only way it's going to work. But I'm not under any delusion. If I don't take this word religiously, if I don't daily confess I'm healed, if I don't stand on God's word, I cannot expect the results of heaven. If I'm not serious about, as serious as I am about following the doctor's instruction, if I'm not as serious about following God's instruction, how do I expect to have any results from heaven or from God? But if I do, hallelujah, and it's a coming, hallelujah. I've received it, I mean, but the manifestation's coming. Hallelujah. I love it. We got to be disciplined about this thing. Amen. We got to recognize truth and God's word, God's truth, and we got to grab a hold of it because he sent it. He sent his word to heal us. Now, hey, keeping in mind that same thought, turn over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Just so that the word brings healing. Let's think about that a moment. Oh, I love this. There's a whole passage of verses here. Man, I'm trying to run through this. I'm not going to get to all these tonight. Is this helping you? I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're writing this down. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. There's a good one. How much fun people make of us and how much fun they have making fun of us. Talking about healing. All these nutcases, they're brainwashed, they're goofy, they're over the top. You know, these Christians, radical right-wing Christians. Believe in healing, believe they can just pray to God and God will answer. First of all, they don't even believe in God, so what are you doing listening to them? The fool said in his heart there is no God. But then they make fun of you when you believe things like miracles and healings and so on and so forth. That's okay, they made fun of Jesus, you're in good company. But see, what happens is they're trusting in their heart, their own heart, their own understanding. They're not trusting in the Lord with their heart. Are you with me? And the Bible specifically says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Hey, we're pretty smart. We've figured out a lot of things. And I thank God for all the medical discoveries, scientific discoveries. There's a lot. We're living in a very technological age, and I think it's awesome, wonderful. Knowledge has increased, no question. We haven't lost our need for God. You better write that down somewhere. If you think we're so smart now we don't need God, then tell me why we have more psychiatrists and psychologists than we ever had. We got more psychologists and psychiatrists than there's ever been on the face of the earth. We've got more doctors than there's ever been on the face of the earth, doctors and nurses. And did you know there's more hospitals right now in the world than there ever has been in the world? And there has never been a building built by man that people have died in more than hospitals. Now, they help a lot of people. Thank God for doctors. We're pro-doctor, pro-hospital, pro-medicine, pro-surgery. You know that. But having said that, it has not eradicated death or has not eradicated diseases. We've helped a lot of diseases. We've overcome a lot of them. But we still need a healer. And with all the psychiatrists and psychoanalysis that's going on, psychologists that are out there, thank God for good psychologists, good psychiatrists, and good counselors and therapy and so on and so forth. With all that, we haven't eradicated the need for a peace giver. Are you with me? We've never lost our need for God. Are you with me? The comfort that comes from heaven, the sanity that comes from heaven, the focus that comes from heaven. Hallelujah. So the idea that we could just lean not to God but to our own understanding and come out okay, that's never worked. Didn't work 2,000 years ago. Didn't work 4,000 years ago. It didn't work last week. And having said that, we honor and give credit where credit's due to people that have given their lives to help people in these areas. So we're pro doctors and psychiatrists, the right psychology, the right psychiatrists, and so on and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But see, we have to understand that even in that, even in seeking out help in other areas to get us along the right path, we need to keep our focus in on God. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. We need to acknowledge him in all of our ways, 6th verse says, and he will direct our paths. And be not wise in our own eyes, 7th verse, fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it shall be health. Health to our navel, body, marrow to our bones. What will be? Trusting in the Lord, acknowledging him in all of our ways, fearing the Lord. Amen. His word. In other words, take heed to his word, listen to what he has to say. His word brings life, brings health. Healing. Brings healing. He sent his word to heal us. I like this, the New English Translation. I've been quoting that a lot tonight. On that verse there, the 8th verse, where health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones, says this will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your inner self. What will? The word. Trusting in God. Hallelujah. Well, how's it going? I'm trusting God. Amen. Well, what's going on in your life? I'm trusting God. Well, I heard this happen and that happened. What are you doing? What you going to do? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God, and it's going to be healing to my body, and it's going to be a refreshment. I like that, to my inner self. Well, that's good stuff. Amen. Hey, Proverbs 4, while we're there, notice in the 4th chapter, 20th verse, my son, attend to my words. And that would be son, daughters, all of us. Attend to his what? Words. God's words. He sent his word and healed him, okay? My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them where you can see them. See, keep them in the midst of your heart. I like that. You know, we'll put scriptures on a refrigerator or put it on a mirror in the bathroom or maybe put it on the dashboard of your car. Maybe put it on index card if it's a lot. We're always exchanging scriptures in our family. Brent and I are going back and forth. Amanda will send me a good verse and another translation. I'll send her one. We'll go back and forth. And we'll just look at that thing. And it's our favorite verse for, you know, a couple weeks or so. And then we'll find another one. But we'll look at it. We'll keep it before us and just go over and over and over. I love it. I love it when it happens because that's keeping it before your eyes. You don't want to forget that, see? And what happens, you come into church service, you hear a good sermon, you get excited, you walk away, but you don't really go over it. So you forget it, you know. Because anybody would. You would, I would, anybody would. You have to consciously keep it before you. So he says, don't let these words depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Do what you got to do to make that happen. You know, put on an index card. Put it somewhere where you can see it. If something comes alive to you, it's worth digging into a while longer. Amen? Notice what happens here. For they, 22nd verse, they, God's word, these words, they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Woo! Man, I'm seeing a pattern. Are you seeing a pattern here? They're a light to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You know what the New English Translation says here? It says they're a light to those who find them and healing to one's entire body. Man, that pretty well covers it, doesn't it? Healing to one's entire body. I like different translations. I love the emphasis, you know. It puts a little more emphasis on one aspect, you know, one thing and hits it at another angle, but wow, I like that one. God's word is life to me, and it's healing to my entire body. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo. Hey, Proverbs 16:24. We're just going through scriptures. I'll wrap it up here in a few minutes. We're not going to get through all of them. It's not going to happen. There's too many of them. Hey, I challenge you. You do it yourself. Go in there and look them up. Underline them. Highlight them. Yellow them. You know, put that. Circle them. Put them on index cards. Do whatever you got to do. But get healed. Don't put up with sickness and disease. You stand against it. You fight it. You know, that's why we take medicine. That's why we rest up, do what we got to do, eat that chicken soup, do what you got to do. But believe God, trust God, and let's get healed. Hallelujah. Notice what it says, the 23rd verse, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Oh, I love that. Watch what you say. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Don't talk negative. Talk positive. God bless you. Don't talk sickness. Talk healing. Amen. Don't talk going under. Go over. Talk going over. Don't talk losing. Talk winning. You let your heart, deep down in your heart, if you're full of got word in the Word of God in your heart, let it teach your mouth. Don't let circumstance teach your mouth. The way you feel, teach your mouth. What everybody else says, teach your mouth. Let your mouth be taught by your heart. Let it be taught by what's in your heart. What does your heart say? What does the God of Word say? What's in your heart? Well, I feel, or it looks like, no. It didn't say let your eyes teach your mouth. It didn't say let your ears, well, I heard. No, it didn't say your ears. It says let your heart teach your mouth. So you let what God, that's why you got to put God's word in your heart. And then speak what comes out of your heart. Don't speak what everybody else is speaking. Don't speak what you're feeling. Don't speak what you're seeing. Speak what's out of your heart. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Next verse. Sweet to the soul, health to the bones. I love that. If you get your words right, you can get healing going in your life. Get the healing going in your body. Because words bring healing. That's why God sent his word, is that we could be healed. So we need to get our words lined up with his words. Isn't that right? The ESV, what does that ESV stand for? English Standard Version. Yeah, the English Standard Version says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. That's a good one. I like that translation on that verse. So if our words are gracious, if our words are positive, our words are in line with God's words, they're sweet to the soul and they're health to the body. You need healing in your body? Watch your mouth. You know what Proverbs 18:21 says? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So make sure, you know, that your words are lined up. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A broken spirit drieth up the bones. Proverbs 17:22, that's a good one, but I tell you, I like it in another translation. King James, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, be positive, be up about God and about his word. It's like a medicine, see? It's like taking medicine, makes you feel good. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. The New English translation on that one says, y'all ready for this? A joyful heart is good medicine. No, that's the ESV. The NET says, a cheerful heart brings good healing. Like a medicine. A cheerful heart brings good healing. You know, depressed people are sick more than people that aren't depressed. Do you know that? Their immune system breaks down. That's true. I mean, it really is true. If you battle depression a lot and you are depressed a lot, you tend to be sick, more sick than the average person that's not depressed. You need to fight depression. You need to come against it. You need a joyful heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you'll get in his presence, joy will come again. If you'll worship him, you can drive out that darkness. You can drive that dark cloud out. If you start singing and worshiping, hallelujah, and acting like you're happy. Fake it till you make it. Are you with me? Then finally, that joy will come. And you know what will come then? Healing will come. Because a merry heart does good like a medicine. This NET says a cheerful heart brings good healing, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Woo! Oh, man. Have we got time for a couple more? I'm going to give you a couple more. I'd hate to leave out any here. Turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Can I give you three more? Real quick. I'll give them to you real quick. Is this helping you? I hope you're writing this down. These are excellent scriptures on healing. To go over day by day, make them personal. Jeremiah, let's see. What did I say, 17? Yeah. Come on. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. That's an old song. Yeah, Jeremiah 17:14 says, "Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise." Now, wait a minute. Do you mean when I say, "Heal me, Lord, I will be healed"? Is that what you're trying to say? I shall be healed? Can we actually say that? Can we say, "Lord, heal me," and then say, "I am healed"? Is that presumptuous? Is that audacious? Is that pretty abrasive about us to say that about God? How can we do that? How many of you know you're saved? How do you know that? How can you say that? I'm saved. Save me. When he saved you, you were saved, correct? Well, he says, "Heal me and I shall be healed. Save me, I shall be saved." So just like I called him to be saved, I can say now before you all, I am saved. When I ask him to heal me, I can say, "I am healed. Heal me and I am healed. Save me, Lord, and I am saved." Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Hey, Psalms, goodness gracious, run out of time. Okay, two more and I'm quitting. Psalms 41. Oh, this is too good here. I don't know. You may not be able to handle this one. Psalms 41. You are sitting down. Everybody sitting down. Okay. Psalms 41. I'm going to read this in a different translation. In the NET, Psalms 41:3, New English Translation says, "The Lord supports him on his sick bed. You completely heal him from his illness." Think about it. Next time you're on a sick bed, not prophesying that, but I mean next time you are in that state, in that situation, you ought to stand on that verse. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. You're not going to die on that sick bed. In fact, in your illness, he will restore you to full health. Or the NET says he completely heals him from his illness. Completely heals him. The English Standard Version says restores you to full health. Well, I will never be the same after this. I just hope I get a little bit better. No, full health. Complete healing. Amen? Full health and complete healing. Boy, that's a better preaching. Y'all are shouting. Okay, Psalms 126. And we'll close this out. Man, I'm glad I came. Psalms 126. And this is something to chew on here now. Now notice in the King James, it just says in the fourth verse, "Turn again our captivity, Lord, as the streams in the south." But again, this NET, New English Translation, it says, "O Lord, restore our well-being just as the streams in the arid south are replenished." Y'all get that? Now, if the King James says, "Turn again our captivity," well, sickness is a captivity. In other words, you are captivated by it. And as the streams in the south. So in one sense, when you think about it, every sick person is captive. And Jesus came to set the captives free, set at liberty them that are bruised. Isn't that what it says in Luke 4:18? And turn the captivity of the blind and so on and so forth. So sickness is a captivity. It does captivate you. You are subservient to it. You can't do anything. You're locked in, as it were, on a sick bed. So the NET just takes it and says, "Oh Lord, restore our well-being." Because when you're sick, you're not well. And it's not the way it should be. You know, healing restores. That's what healing does. Healing doesn't, it's not some weird thing. It's not some intrusion on the normal course of events. Sickness is an intrusion, not healing. In fact, when someone's sick, they're not well, they're not okay, something's wrong, it's not right. When they get well, they get healed, they're well, they're okay, they're right. Isn't that correct? So sickness is wrong, healing is right. And all the biblical terminology is the same, and the words we use is the same of that. That's why he says, O Lord, restore our well-being, because sickness takes away our wellness. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed, it says she was made whole. When the man with the withered hand was healed, it says he was restored whole like the other. Isn't that right? So all that Jesus did was correct something that was wrong. Healing just corrects things. When blind eyes see, that's what eyes are supposed to do. When cripples walked, and he healed cripples that walked, their legs worked, because that's what legs are supposed to do. You're supposed to walk on legs. And when a leg goes out, it's not working right. I know when pain with my back, and the back goes out, and I can't walk, my back's out. You know, back went out. It's not working right. It wasn't made to go out. It was made to work. And legs are made to walk with. Eyes made to see. Ears made to hear with. You lose your hearing, because hearing is supposed to be there. You lose your eyesight. Your eyesight fades because, see, you're supposed to see with eyes. So healing is just the way it's supposed to be. And God restores your well-being. Just like the streams, and just like he makes the water flow, he makes the healing come and the sickness go. Every time you see a river flowing or a waterfall, you think about it. God does that, and he brings healing too. Just like he brings the streams in the south. Our God is a healing God. Healing is what he does. And when we call on him, he heals us. Not a side note, not a side issue, not a way off, you know, 99, 100th benefit. It's right up there at the top with salvation. Jesus bore stripes on his back that you might be healed. He shed blood that you might be saved. Bore stripes that you might be healed. Are you with me? Forget not all of his benefit. He forgives all of our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. 1-2, boom, boom, 1-2 punch. First two things he did, hit the devil's best shot, salvation, healing. I love it. So get out there and get healed, amen. He's the Lord that heals us, hallelujah.